for today's introductory sermon video. Let's take a look.
Tell us, in whose name do you claim the cripple was healed?
Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified.
Do you say the Nazarene himself healed him, not God?
I say he was healed by God in the name of Jesus Christ, whom God resurrected from death.
You liars!
No. Blackout.
There was no healing.
No, blackout button.
Only deception. We know that this miracle was nothing more than theater,
with actors playing roles to falsely glorify their dead Nazarene.
So by a show of hands, how many of you are familiar with the television game show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? You seen that before? Yeah. So you know how this works. There's 11 questions total, the 11th one being the $1 million mark. Contestants have the opportunity to work their way up through a series of questions that reflect questions and knowledge and information from textbooks ranging from grades 1 to 5. For example, first grade science and health. How did you do in first grade? All right. No, we can't remember that. How about second grade? Second grade social studies and world geography. Any takers? No? Okay, all right. Wow, tough crowd. All right. Third grade, vocabulary, physical science. Feeling better? Coming closer to 2017, right? Maybe for some of us. All right. Grade 4, earth science, animal science. We love the sciences. All right, if that's not your cup of tea, how about fifth grade life science? Or fifth grade astronomy. Now be warned, if you choose to back out at any point in the competition, you have to look into the camera and say a very unpleasant phrase. Or if you miss a question, you get the answer wrong, you have to use the same unpleasant phrase. And this is what it is. I, Seth, am not smarter than a fifth grader. Now, how many of us here today, by a show of hands, wants to say that today? Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. This morning in our first reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, and in our introductory sermon video this morning, we see this setup with the apostles, Peter and John, and also with the religious elite of the day, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the elders, and the Sadducees. The best of the best, guys who've been to school, guys who know their stuff when it comes to Scripture. And yet, Peter and John find themselves going toe-to-toe with the religious elite. And as you probably saw and picked up on in our video today, they ain't too happy to see Peter and John, are they? You see, for them, it's not, are you smarter than a fifth grader? It's just this, are you smarter than an uneducated fisherman? No offense if you like to go fishing. It's frustrating for them. It's aggravating because the more they go toe-to-toe with Peter and John, the more they find themselves up against something they can't stop. The work of God. We see this take place. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. So once again, things come to a head. They had Peter and John brought before them, the Sanhedrin, and then begin to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? So if they're thinking game show fashion or contestant fashion, their question is this, Peter and John, how did you perform this miracle? Because you shouldn't be able to do this. You're just fishermen. You don't know Scripture. We do. How did you heal that man who couldn't walk? Peter, John, question 2. By whose authority did you do this? Answer carefully. Peter and John, question 3. By what name did you do this? Choose your words carefully. Think back to a moment to what we celebrated during Easter. And I'll take it one step further to what we remembered during Holy Week on Good Friday, to what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, went through for you and for me. Think about the people involved. Think about the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion. Think about the people who had a hand in this. Who were they? None other than the group that's now questioning Peter and John. So think about that. If they did that to your Lord and Savior Jesus over here, then what do you think they're going to do to you? It's a good thing Peter and John have something else. It's a good thing Peter and John don't have to rely on their wits or worldly wisdom. It's a good thing they have the Word of God that has been given to them by grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Take a look at what Jesus shared with them before this took place. Words for you and I to hang on as well. Luke chapter 12, verse 11 to 12. Jesus said this to the disciples, "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." Peter knows this. Peter has this in his heart and in his mind. My question to you this morning is this: do you have this in your heart and mind? Bless you. Think about the opportunities God gives you in your own home, your place of work, your school, your neighborhood to share your faith. Does the outlook rest on you and what you can do? Or is it anchored into something like this? The unstoppable grace and hope and work of our God through the Holy Spirit. So this is what Peter says. He answers the questions. How did you do this? In whose authority and by what name? Peter says this. Check this out. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone, the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." All right, so look at it this way. You Pharisees, you Sadducees, you teachers of the law, you religious elitists, if you want to know by whose authority I did this, how we perform this miracle, then know this. It's through Jesus that this man stands before you today. It's through Jesus that this man who couldn't walk before now walks and talks and stands before you healed. You want to know what the answer is to the category of by whose authority? Then know this. It's by Jesus' authority. And you want to know by what name? I'm happy to share. It's the name of Jesus. The only name given to you and to me by which we will be saved. You might look at it this way, and maybe there's something on the screen up front this morning for you to sink your teeth into and take home with you. You see, for these early disciples, the answer was and will always be Jesus Christ. When it comes to situations involving forgiveness, how can I forgive someone who has hurt me more than I can put into words? How can I forgive somebody who has pushed back on me time and time again? The answer? Through Jesus. I struggle with things in my life I don't understand. Things constantly try to rob my hope. But I can face today and tomorrow. Why? How? Through Jesus. Through Jesus, I have hope. Through Jesus, there is forgiveness. Through Jesus, I have my identity. No matter how much the world tries to tell me what I should do, what I should look like, what I should say, who I should be, I already have my identity through Jesus. When he baptized me in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, he called me a child of his, and I have my identity. Thanks be to God. For these early disciples, there was no hiding. There was no cowering. There was no, well, I wonder what they're going to say. They might not talk to me again. They might not text me back. They might unfriend me. It was, what I have is what you need. And it's not a what. It's a who. And it's Jesus. Let me pause and ask you, who or what guides your life? I pray so. When it comes to issues of forgiveness, what's your metric? Who's your example? When it comes to grace, what we don't deserve but we get anyway, who or what informs your life? When it comes to unconditional love, who or what drives you, guides you, leads you, gives you what you need? When it comes to hope, who or what drives or guides your life? When it comes to conversations, situations, moments, expected or unexpected, who or what guides your life? For the disciples, the answer was clear. What was it? Jesus. What is it for you? I pray so. God is very intentional about what he gives us in his word. And it's no accident that Luke records for us what happened on the heels of Peter and John's response to the interrogation and the game show put on by the religious elite of the day. We have the response and the result of their faithful witness. This is what Luke shares with us, chapter 4, verse 13. When they, the Sanhedrin, the religious elite, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Sadducees, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When people leave their time with you, do they say the same thing? I pray so. At some point in Peter's life, Peter shared this with other Christ followers like you and me, and he shares this through the work of the Holy Spirit even today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says this, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." People out in your life are hungry to know what you have that they don't. People are hungry to know what keeps you moving forward when things knock you down, when an illness knocks you a step back, when bills stack up on your table, when things don't work out the way you thought they would in a relationship or a job or some other situation. People want to know, and they want to ask you, and it's not a game show, it's life. And they want to know from you what drives you, what motivates you, what gets you out of bed in the morning when everything else says stay in bed. What is it for you? Peter says, for me, it's Jesus. Is it for you? This week, and for the rest of your life, this is the question. When someone asks you who or what guides your life, what will your answer be? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the early church. We thank you for the ways in which it crawled, it took stride, and it took off on a mad sprint around the world. And we're thankful for the faithful witness of men and women who carried the gospel even when it was tough, even when it cost them their lives. Father, we recognize that even today, here in Fort Wayne, you give us opportunities daily to share our faith with others, to give an answer, as Peter says, to everyone who asks us, what's different? What drives us? What motivates us? What leads us? What gets us out of bed? What gives us hope? Every day we have the opportunity to point someone else through our words and our actions to Jesus. May we never discount those opportunities. Father, we pray when the time comes, take us out of our own way and help us to share. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. This time in our